We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Happy New Year to everybody out there. And away we go for the basketball versions of the podcast as we take you through the next 10, 11 weeks with basketball. Joining us in the first segment today will be Connor Vanover. Second segment, we'll talk to Christina Nigwe. So we're talking to like the big man and the big woman on campus here. She's leading the conference and the country in rebounding and has been a three-time All-American, probably be four times. So we'll get her in the second segment. Well, we'll talk to the tallest guy on campus to start things, Connor Vanover from Little Rock, Arkansas, coming off his two best statistic performances of the year, 10 points each against both USC and UCLA. And you got a lot of minutes in the UCLA game as well, maybe two or three games worth of minutes after, you know, suffering that concussion a couple of weeks ago. Just tell us what it's like physically for you to play, you know, almost 30 minutes of a basketball game.
Well, first off, I was exhausted after that game. But I think it was great for me to get back into things. It was a quick turnaround from my concussion, you know, not being able to do anything, but being able to come back, USC, play a decent amount of minutes, and then come back against UCLA and play more minutes than I have all season. I think it was great for me. I enjoyed it, and I think I played really well.
You did play well, did some good things at both ends of the court. Let's go back to the concussion against St. Mary's. Hit a guy, your nose and your head, all in one fell swoop. Talk us through what that next week was like and what you had to go through before both you and the medical staff felt that you could play again.
Well, after that game, it was basically just darkness for a couple of days. I couldn't really do anything. I was, you know, stuck in my room. I would, you know, maybe just walk to go get food. I'd have shades on. So it was kind of difficult just not being able to do anything. You know, just like a headache, dizziness, whole bunch of different symptoms. But then I started feeling better. Then we went down to Fresno State, which I went and visited. And so I just kept progressively getting better. But the first week or so, it was just I couldn't really do anything. And I couldn't work out. Couldn't do anything. I couldn't really do much. So I was just anxiously waiting for my head to get better.
I've never really ever seen a guy, when we were at Fresno State, that's 7'3" and playing the role of incognito, but you had to wear the sunglasses because of the brightness. But it was, and I tweeted something, I said something on the air, and your dad tweeted out a reply. It was pretty funny stuff, but I'm glad you're feeling better now and playing well. Let's go back to your high school days, because at first, you spent the first couple of years actually in Little Rock, your hometown, won a couple of state championships there, and then moved to Findlay Prep in Las Vegas. Tell us about the move, why you made the move, and what that experience was like.
Well, it was a big decision for me and my family, for moving from Little Rock to Vegas. Well, only me, but it was a big decision from going to just a small town basketball to moving to Findlay Prep, which is a well-known, basketball powerhouse. So it was a hard decision to make, but it was a decision that I felt like I needed to make, to move on in my basketball career. The main reason was because, playing in Little Rock, I would be able to, maybe win another championship, state championship, but I wouldn't really get any better. Mm-hmm.
a little frog in the throat. That's okay. We all get those.
Yeah. And in Little Rock, I would be going against maybe the tallest big man would be maybe 6'4". So not really much competition. Going to Findlay, they had Bol Bol, who was another 7-footer. They had a person who went to San Diego State, who was 6'10". Someone who went to Arkansas, who's 6'8". So playing against people my size and strength that are even stronger really helped push me to be a better player. And playing against other great teams like us. During the season, I think that was the main decision. That was the main reason we decided to move to Findlay.
So did you go by yourself? Your parents go at all? Was that your first opportunity to be away from home for an extended period?
So I had a little experience before that of being away from home. The last two summers before my senior year, I went on travel teams that were based out of Texas. So before my junior year, spent the whole month of July, in someone else's house in Texas. And the next year I, spent almost the whole summer in another person's house in Texas. So I wasn't a stranger to being away from home for a period of time. Just not for a whole school year. But my dad, he halfway moved out to Vegas with us. He had a sister who had a house in Vegas. So he stayed there part-time. He went back and forth, but he hardly missed a game out there. He always came around, and he was really supportive.
He's been to a number of games so far this year. So we talked before we started there. Went to China. I saw him in New York City. We saw him this past week in Los Angeles. So having that support, your mom played at Arkansas, so she knows what it's like to be a college athlete. You got a brother at Central Arkansas as well, so this is something that you've gotten a little bit used to as a family.
Yeah, I always have support from my family. They always come to anything they can. They're already planning on their next trip to come out here, and as soon as they could. But yeah, they whenever they can, they come and support me or anyone else in my family. Like they came from the China trip to see us, and the next day they were at Central Arkansas watching my brother play. It's like it was midnight back in China, and they were out watching my brother. So they love watching us play and supporting us.
Well, it's great to have that support. Not everybody has that, so you should be very thankful of having that. All right, you at one point in time, I believe, were a commit to Memphis, if I remember correctly. Tell us how you ended up at Cal.
Well, last year, Memphis had Coach Tubby Smith, and I was completely sold on him and what he wanted to do with Memphis. And they had a great facility, close to home, a lot of great perks, but they didn't have the year that they thought they would have. Their attendance was down, and they didn't do as good as they thought they would. So they fired their coach, and so they hired Penny. Before that, I was basically committed to them without a coach. And I was at Findlay. It was the end of the season. So I really didn't know what to do. And so I was like, well, if anything, I'll just, you know, decommit, open up my recruitment again and see what happens from there. And so I had, you know, like a couple low mid-major schools, and all of a sudden Cal comes around and they came hard. As soon as they could, they came and flew out to Vegas to watch me practice and pressing me about, you know, trying to come take a visit. And they came back and watched me again and had a nice talk with him. And at the time, Coach O'Toole. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they were really hard trying to get me to come because I could see their situation. They didn't even have a big guy. So I think that really, you know, sparked my interest of being able to come here and have decent minutes right away.
Did you get a chance to see Coach O'Toole back in New York? Oh, I saw him in the lobby. I was able to talk. He's at Pitt now. They were playing the next day.
Yeah, I saw him for a couple minutes. You know, he was excited about seeing everybody. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about now you're into the Pac-12. You get a chance to come out here a little early and get acclimated to things, which is nice. What's the adjustment been? What's the biggest adjustments you've had to go through so far, whether it's academics, socially, big city, or the basketball portion?
I would just say it's been college. That's been the hardest part. Just trying to fit everything together. I mean, you can't do everything like to the fullest. You can't be great at basketball, great in schoolwork, and, you know, great with having 1,000 friends. You gotta like pick your poison, pick what you want to be good at. So I'd say it's been the toughest, like trying to do time management of seeing, you know, how much time I have for each thing and what I want to dedicate more. So definitely, you know, putting basketball and academics first. And you know, it's been kind of hard, you know, trying to balance everything together, but I think it's been a great experience so far.
All right. People that have watched any of the games will notice that you are a proficient 3-point shooter. I mean, when you face the basket, no matter where it is, you got the capability to knock the shots down. The 3-point line is not an uncomfortable spot for you. Does it look like it? Where did this shooting ability come from? And kudos, I must say, to whoever taught you how to shoot, because you have the correct stroke. There are other players we've seen around the league that it's like, did they ever learn how to properly shoot a basketball? Where did that come from?
Well, sad to say it wasn't from my mom, but because she played college basketball, and you know, she had a really nice shot too. But she never taught me to play basketball. I'd say it was my AAU coach starting in second grade. He really pushed me to shoot more. My mom was like, no, he should be a post player. But he kind of would stretch the floor and let me start shooting a little bit. So, I mean, over the years, I just started shooting better and better until like I could shoot threes. And then like I had a decent shot then, but my coach before my high school coach, he was a high school coach where I was at before I was in high school. And he's still one of my coaches and a really nice friend. He taught me, you know, the best way to shoot of having a really good mechanic. So I can really credit him to my shooting form now. But I'd say back in second grade, gave me the confidence was my old AAU coach.
And then when did you have the big growth spurt? At what point in your life did you shoot up?
Around sixth or eighth grade, I'd say. I was never a small kid. But I was always the tallest, but, I'd say end of fifth grade, I was about 5'11", almost 6 foot. And then sixth through eighth grade, I just shot from 6 foot all the way up to 7'1".
In eighth grade,
yeah.
You hit 7. Wow. That's a huge burst.
Yeah. I'd say like the biggest portion was after my seventh grade year. Wow. I went from 6'5", 6'6" and seventh grade to being, you know, 6'11", 7 foot in eighth grade.
So I mean, a lot of guys, that happens like in high school. And yours came really early. I mean, that's a little unusual.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But, you know, I have two brothers.
Okay.
So, and they're older than me. And so I basically saw them. I saw what happened to them.
Okay.
So I was kind of like waiting for my turn.
Okay.
So I would just.
How tall are they?
So 1'7" and 1'7". And they're twins. They're 21. But I would see them. They would shoot up. And I was, you know, I was just waiting on my time.
And you have a younger brother as well? No, you don't have a younger. You're the youngest one. Wow, that's pretty remarkable to have 3 7-footers basically in the same family. That's remarkable. Talk about the fact that, you know, you talked about, you know, in high school in Little Rock, you didn't have big guys to play against unless you went and played in the AAU circuit or Team USA or whatever. Finley, Bol Bol, unfortunately, you won't be able to go against him this year because his career is over at Oregon. But now that you get into conference play, so we have Rakosevich, Boatwright at USC, Moses Brown at UCLA, and they've got a bunch of guys that are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". I mean, that's what you'll see pretty much the rest of this year. I mean, is that something you relish and look forward to, that you can finally look basically somebody in the eye and play against them?
Yeah, that's what I look forward to. I always try to play up to the level of my competition. And so playing against, you know, other great bigs who will one day make it to the league, I think it's a great stepping stone for me to head that way too.
Well, it's been fun to watch you so far, and the only better things ahead as you get the bigger, stronger. I did have to chuckle a little bit on the bus ride after the UCLA game to the airport, and they were able to provide a meal for everybody, and there was some extra meals left over, and there was fruit left over. Anyway, there's leftover food, and everybody said, pass it back to Connor because they want you to gain some weight. I mean, how much do you try to eat? I mean, you have to force food down to put on weight?
Yeah, sometimes I just have to, you know, force food into my body. But yeah. Every chance I get, you know, everybody's trying to get me to eat more, and I'm trying to eat more too, but it's a struggle, but we're getting there.
You are getting there. You can see it. You put on strength and weight in the, you know, since the summertime, so you're going in the right direction. Hey, Connor, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Stay healthy and look forward to watching you this week against the Arizona schools.
Thank you.
All right, Connor Vanover, a freshman from Little Rock, Arkansas. The Bears will host Arizona State Wednesday and then the Arizona Wildcats on Saturday evening. All right, straight ahead, more hoops with the other big person on campus, this time women's basketball, as we continue on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Joining me now on Bear Inside, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, is one of the all-time greats, not only in women's basketball here at Cal, but just athletically at a school in which there are a lot of people that have done so many good things. Christina Nigue, she's midway through her final season with the Bears as they will head down to the state of Arizona, kind of her home turf this week against Arizona and Arizona State. And Christine's on the verge of doing some incredible things here. Not that she hasn't already, but she's got a really good chance of being the all-time leader in scoring points, obviously rebounds, and in blocked shots as well. So, and she's one of 11 people in the history of the Bay Area that's got 2,000 points and 1,000 rebounds. Think about that. Men or women, basketball in the Bay Area. Think of all the great players that have come through here. And so, Christine, thanks for taking some time and being with us. Last time I saw you, we were on a plane. We were heading back from Phoenix back here to the Bay Area after the Cheez-It Bowl. And since then, you've played a couple of conference games, 1-1 against the LA schools. Just give us an overall view of where this team is right now entering week number 2 of conference play.
I think we're in a really good space. Losing to UCLA was a eye-opener that this conference is very tough. And to come, like, it doesn't matter if you're ranked or not ranked, but Pac-12 just proves day in and day out that it's a tough conference to win 2 games. So you have to have your mentality that you're going to dominate the first game and even bring something else for the second game. I think coming into the USC game, we were like, we're not going to lose to both the LAs. It was a tough loss against UCLA. There were so many plays that could have determined the win on our side. But at the end of the day, like, we learned from that. And we kind of, like, we kind of showed who we were in the USC game. Although it kind of ended not in our favor. We pulled through because we had that cushion in the third quarter. I think we played really hard.
Certainly played hard, and you mentioned that. I mean, this is literally every game means something this year in this conference. We've talked about it before. The balance top to bottom is unlike anything we've ever seen in this conference. And this week you get a chance to go back home. Mm-hmm. You've got Arizona first and then Arizona State. Mm-hmm. So the Sun Devils have been a thorn in the side for the Bears the last couple of years. And I'm sure you'd like to make your last appearance in the Wells Fargo Arena, your best appearance in that arena, and get what at this point in time would be your first and maybe only win.
Yeah, Arizona is always tough to play at just because, number one, they are so close to us and they know our games. Mm-hmm. They their scout is very, very, very dense, and it's almost like playing the LAs because we're so familiar with them. I think we played against Arizona State from the Pac-12 tournament to Pac-12 conference play has always been a game that showed who's a tougher competitor. And in the, I remember beating them in the Pac-12 tournament, and it was very emotional for us just because Arizona State is always the tougher competitor. And I think doesn't matter what they're ranked at, where they stand in the polls, they always come out strong. And I think Charlie does a really good job scouting for us. And it's always a really good matchup. It's always a really good game. And she knows that, again, I'm going to try to get this win. It's my last. I'm a senior. And I know she's telling her players that, I'm probably going to try to come out and do everything, be a different kind of player, but at a different level, because this is my last go around with the Arizonas. And I think it's going to be a really good game. I think I'm just going to try to stay composed and really understand that whatever they try to throw at me, I'm just going to withstand, and my team is behind me, and that we've been through the same, St. Mary's was a very, very tough game. So we know how to close out games. We know how to battle. UConn showed that. We know how to win because we've won. Preseason, we've had a phenomenal run, and we've showed the nation that we can win games.
You've also shown you can win games on the road. You have yet to lose a true road game. So that takes something special on a team as well. Penn State, you mentioned St. Mary's, etc. That's a good sign for a team. You mentioned Charlie. I mean, her scout can't be too much different than everybody else in the league and everybody else that you play against. Yeah. You, personally, you're going to get double and triple teamed all of the time. What has that been like night in and night out, where if you ever get a one-on-one matchup, you might be more surprised than anything else? I mean, every night they're coming at waves at you.
Usually when I get one-on-one matchup, I know their defense is flawed because that's not a common thing. And so I'll try to capitalize on that. And I'll just try to expose them the whole game. So, if I get a one-on-one matchup, I know that they're not doing – they didn't scout our team correctly. And we have phenomenal shooters and a really dense bench. But if you're leaving me one-on-one, then it's I'm going to show you why not to leave me one-on-one. And then at the end of the day, I'm going to get the ball to whoever needs to get the ball, because you can't be guarding everyone else the same. TZ, if you're sagging off, TZ, she's just shooting that right in your face. So it's do your scouting report and don't try to fake things. So many times, I'm cutting, getting open through the gaps on double teams and triple teams. And it's you can't all of a sudden do a scouting. It's so hard to scout our team because it's how are you going to scout? You have to scout us and Stanford. Mm-hmm. So are you going to spend all your time scouting us and then have a flawed double team? Or are you going to spend all your time scouting Stanford? And it's just so nice having two really, really dominant teams. And it's okay, doesn't matter what they try to do at us, they still have to scout another team. They still have to pay attention to Stanford, because Stanford is phenomenal, and we are phenomenal as well, and we have really good post play, really good card play. But at the end of the day, if you don't do your job against us, we're going to beat you 10 out of 10.
What has changed in your game since you showed up on campus, became the National Freshman of the Year? What's changed in your game over the last 3-plus years?
I think more so my mentality, and how I kind of approach the game. I think so many times I've let distractions get in the way, and this year it's that's not even an option for me. Once I see something as a distraction, I cut it off and I just keep going and staying in the gym, watching film or doing something that's productive. And I don't have time to really entertain things that or entertain people that aren't going to help me grow as a person. And I don't have time to be in arguments with people that aren't going to help me grow. And I feel like so many times in college, you have to learn who you are as a person first. And who then you find figure out who you are as a player. Like, I've always been a phenomenal player. And at the end of the day, I had to figure out what kind of person I wanted to be. And I credit that a lot to the Cal basketball and the program and helping me find myself and being patient with me, helping me grow, my teammates, and just like all the staff members. I think they've been really patient with me. And I think that's been every single individual player on this team. Everyone had to grow. And we all had to understand that, okay, this is my role on the team, and I'm going to capitalize on that, and I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to be a bad teammate because I don't like my role. I'm going to try to, if I understand my role, then I'm going to try to flex and help other people. I'm going to try to be a better teammate. I'm going to try to be a better person so I can be a better teammate.
That's kind of what college is all about, not only for student athletes, but also for everybody. So you, in your case, you go from a girl to a woman in the course of 4 years. And that's, it's really fun to watch people go through that process. Mm-hmm. It can be frustrating at times to watch, and it can be, you know, ups and downs and this, that, and the other, but that's really kind of what college is for most people. And it's pretty obvious that you've come through that and done a terrific job. Now, academics obviously is important in your family. I mean, you got one brother, we got both brothers kind of across the bay here. Mm-hmm. One of them goes to USF, is in grad school. Yeah. The other one, we saw it about 3 weeks ago on a basketball court for San Jose State. So tell us why academics was always so important in your family.
I think my mom really prided us, like, wanted us to be very successful in life. And she saw that academically, if you dominate academics, academically, you will open up doors that you wouldn't have if you, again, like, didn't graduate or didn't do well in the classroom. I think so many times I was like the black sheep in the family on that, because, like, yeah, I went to number one public university, but I loved basketball, and I was like, I would be in the gym countless of times where I should be like studying for my midterm or doing my paper. And I just would wake up knowing that I wanted to be the best, and I had to learn how to balance that. Like, I found like a passion for sociology and learning about different theories, but at the same time, I've always just had a very, very, very deep relationship with basketball and being in the gym and understanding the game and just being present. I think last year kind of showed me that, like, through it all, like, I'm going to try my hardest to be present in basketball, because you're not going to have this forever. But academically, you can always go back to school. You can always go do your master's program or whatever. I feel like you should always do what your heart, like, is leaning towards, until, like, because that's not going to be there forever. And, like, basketball, like, I only have a limited space. I would choose basketball over everything. You only have limited space to be excellent and excel and be perfectionist. Everything else is going to be there when you're done with that. Schools have been here for generations, time after time. Your body isn't going to always be at the tip-top shape. So I'm, again, very, very grateful that I went to Cal, because I've learned so many things. That I learned how to balance. I learned how to live. I learned how to be involved off the court with political things, and where my stand is and who I am as an individual, and different kind of like mix, the mixing pot, like, understand the melting pot, like, understanding, like, they're different just because I am, like, who I am at the school doesn't mean I'm going to be that same person in a different country. Like, they might not look at me the same. So, like, I really appreciate Berkeley for allowing me to be who I am as an individual and not judging me, never judging me. You see so many people, so many different people. Like, one time I saw this guy walking naked in my classroom. But it's, like, at Berkeley, that's the only thing, like, he'll never see that at any other school, you know? Like, so I just appreciate Berkeley for just being very unique and being very diverse. And although, like, I've always been very, 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 very obsessed with basketball, I understand that academics is very important. I think my mom is still that in all of us. My brothers are insanely smart. My sister's insanely smart. And it was just me, like, oh. I'm smart. I guess to other people in my family, like, oh, Christine, like, oh, you got a B. I'm like, yeah. Okay. And like my brother's getting like straight A's coming back home. It all started like in middle school. My brother would come home straight A's and I'd come up like three B's and like, you know, two A's. I'm like, okay, like here. And like, no, it's not good enough. But then I was like, okay, y'all can keep that. I'm gonna keep my B's and I'm gonna go and dominate on the basketball court. So I just figured out that everyone has their role in life. Like I might not be the smartest in my family, but at least I'm the most athletic.
Well, I will say this. It sounds like the bar is raised pretty high there as far as the academics are concerned. It's certainly raised from an athletic standpoint. You're at the top there. So that nothing to sneeze at or to be disappointed about. What was it like at home playing, though, against your siblings playing some hoops? I mean, they may get the A's in the classroom, but were you able to school them on the court?
My little brother, he's very smart, very, very smart, and he's very smart. He picks up things like plays and just fundamentals, like, very fast. And I was always irritated because I would always travel. Like, we would learn a move from our trainer, and he would just pick it up, and I would just look like a robot. And I'm like, okay, like, I need to do this. I need to put extra reps in this. But I think my little brother, like, He's really, really good.
Like, what grade is he in?
He's a freshman, but he just turned 18. So he went to college. He went to college when he was 17, and he just, like, minds his own business, does what he got to do, and then goes home. Like, and that's how we all are, kind of. Well, my older brother, like, is very social, but me and my younger brother are just very, like, to ourselves, kind of. And we're not, like, I can go home and watch Netflix 4 hours and then wake up and do the same thing, go to practice and then go in the gym extra and then just watch Netflix. Like, I don't have to be around people.
What's your favorite Netflix program going on now?
I'm watching the show. It's called like You. It's about like, it's a romantic thriller. Like this guy's stalking this girl and eventually they fall in love and like, yeah. Kind of weird.
I'm a Netflix nut as well. Yeah. So we just go to Netflix at night and there's so many good things on nowadays.
A lot of good things.
A lot of really good things right now.
People sleep on Netflix.
Well, they're not sleeping on them the last couple of years because that thing has exploded. That's for sure. Hey, when's the first time you dunked the ball and where was it? What was your reaction?
I was like, oh, I want to do a McDonald's All-American thing. And I was like, okay, I'll dunk it. And it's like, I knew like I could jump really high. And I just kind of like dunked at practice with the tennis ball. And I just went straight to the basketball. I did tennis ball like one time. I was like, oh, I'm not about to be practicing with the tennis ball. I'm just going to go with the basketball. So I just dunked with the basketball.
Was that the McDonald's?
Or was that like the day before the McDonald's, okay. Yeah.
Let's talk about the night you scored the 50. Okay. I just read an article today. It was really cool. Because you scored the 15, you didn't know you had 15 till the end and this, that, and the other. But you had a paper due the next day, and you end up calling Ivan Rabb, and you guys end up, you know, studying together, and you get the paper done. I mean that's kind of the way it is here at Cal.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter how good you are on the court, on the field, where in the pool, whatever it is, you got the academic component. Yeah. Tell us what that night was like, the highest of highs, and yet – you got to go grind it and stay up until 1 or so in the morning.
Yeah, my sophomore year, we had this paper of, like, a magazine, like a 90s magazine, and we had to, like, kind of dissect it and make, like, put our own thoughts about how, like, women should be treated or how women were affected by their role that society gave them. And I was like, yeah, I got this. What? That's like I live for essays like that. But it was so last second. I was like, I have a game today. Like, I can't. So like the night before I was doing it, during the game, I was thinking about this paper. I'm like, I have so many good ideas. So many good ideas that I'm going to be doing. So I'm like, okay, I'm like, I need to focus in. So I just started running. And Lindy was like, okay, if you run, you might score a lot. And I was like, okay. So I was sack. They were a little smaller, and I was just running. Like, it was almost like a track meet. Like, I was out of breath after the game. Like, I was exhausted. But like, after the game, I'm like, oh, I scored 50 points. Wow. But I couldn't even, like, appreciate it because our papers due, like, at 11 o'clock. So I called Ivan. I'm like, bro, like, we gotta come. Like, I was like, come to Haas, come to Haas. Like, and he was like, okay, like, he was like, good game. I was like, thanks. We gotta finish this paper. And I was like, yeah, because like, if we didn't finish that paper, we failed the class. Mm-hmm. So me and Ivan are like, we were running to Haas. I'm like running. He's like running. I think it was raining outside. And after, like, so we're doing the paper, and then we had called our other friend, and he's like, yeah, I'm not gonna do it. I was like, what? Like, I'm like, we're about to fail. What are you talking about? And I was like, nah, we got to finish this paper. Like, I'm about to get in hell of trouble. Like, no. And so, like, me and Ivan are, like, in there, like, till, like, so late. We're like, we print out the papers, like, so it was super thick. And we're like, we finished this. Wow. It's like 20 pages of just front, back. And we're like, wow. We're like looking at each other. It's like, oh, does this mine sound good? And he's like, yeah. Like, but I guess I had like a similar experience like last semester with like me studying for my SOCH final. And I was like, if I don't pass this test, I'm going to like, because it was like worth 50% of our grade. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to, like, I saw him writing on the board, like, all the terms. I'm like, this reminds me of the time that I had to cram that paper in right before, right after the game. But, yeah.
The highest of highs, and yet you still have a sense of urgency because of academics. That's awesome. Just your thoughts about, I mean, obviously, later this spring, you're going to be drafted by the WNBA. There's a franchise in Phoenix. I mean, that's kind of convenient if it would happen. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, you're going to get an opportunity to play at the next level. Has this been something that's always been on your radar, that you've always used as a goal of yours and a dream?
It's always like, when I was in a sophomore, I guess, in high school, I went to a Mercury game. And I was like, I'm watching the players. And I was like, whoa, this is unreal. Like, they are literally getting paid to do what they love. At the time, like, I was like kind of like starting to work hard with basketball. Like, I just like kind of got familiar with the game, and like, my coach believed in me, my club coach, he believed in me. But like, I was like, okay, like, I'm okay. Like, I was a freshman, I made varsity, but I didn't play a lot. Like, I was like, oh, whatever, I'm okay. And then my sophomore season, I was like, okay, like, I started working hard. I wanted to get, like, in super good shape, because if you're big and you're in super good shape, that gives you an advantage. And then I was like, I'm just going to work hard, because I want the ball. Like, I like having the ball in my hand. I like scoring. So, like, I would just seal really well, and I would just throw the ball up. But my junior year is when I, like, started getting really interested in basketball, like, really, really, really invested in basketball and being around the USA girls. I made, like, a lot of good friends, and they would just tell me how hard they worked. And I was like, okay, like, I'm going to work even harder, because, like, if you're working that hard and you're already good, I'm not that good, so I have to work harder than you so I can be at your level or even higher than you. And then my senior year, I was like, wow, only takes, like, a year to get. It takes really a year to reach your goals of consistent hard work. And I think that I kind of like try to reflect and replicate that into this year, and understand that it really does take like a couple months. That the first 3 months of achieving your goal are always really hard. And then, because you're committed to being consistent, and then being consistent without the fresh legs and without the fresh new goals, that's harder. So then, technically, like, if you get past the 6 months, like, you're fine, because you're already committed and you're consistent. So, like, I always say that with anything. Like, if I want to drink more water, if I want to gain weight, I understand that, like, the first 3 months are the hardest to be consistent. And the fourth month and the fourth or sixth are, like, very hard. They're even harder, because it's, like, I need to be consistent. Like, I'm not fresh anymore. I need to figure out ways where I can still be get to my sweet spot, or like figure out why I'm doing this. And so preseason this year, I was like, okay, I'm gonna gain weight and I'm gonna get faster. And that's what I did. I'm like, whenever I put my mind to something, I do it. I think that's what, like, my mom has taught me. Like, once you train your mind to give up, and you just give up and you lose. Like, I don't want to lose. Like, so I think the same thing with my brother going to med school. Like, he went to Arizona State people were like, oh, he's not going to med school. He gets in the top med school, like, in the nation, you know? So like, even my little brother, he's like, oh, he's 17. He's not going to go to college. And he gets into a college and, like, it's just, like, things like that. My little sister is excelling at Arizona State and going into, like, the business school, like, getting into the business school and then getting a job and a really good internship at American Airlines. And it's like, you know, like, and then, like, me, I'm like, I just need to be, like, it doesn't matter what year you had. Like, it doesn't matter, like, I guess, like, seasons are based off of preseason. That's one season. And then we talked to, like, one of our alums, like, before UCLA, before, like, the beginning of Pac-12 play. She was like, there's three seasons, like, preseason, preseason, conference, and postseason. And I'll say this is my second season within the year, new year actually, then my senior year, and I need to refresh myself. I need to understand, like, what it's gonna take. Like, we lost to Harvard, we lost to UCLA, and doesn't matter what I'm always gonna have individual accolades here, and I have never had a collective accolade with my team. So,
well, you get a chance to be 2-1. That's all you can do from now on is be 2-1. Christina Nigue, the only player in the country, but one of the few, double-double every game. I mean, she's third in the country in rebounding, amongst the national leaders in the top 10 in scoring. And as we mentioned earlier, she's probably going to be the all-time leading scorer in Cal history and also the leading rebounder as well. Colleen Galloway, had you ever heard of Colleen Galloway?
Yeah,
She's the first female to get a scholarship for athletics here at Cal. And so you're going to put her in the rearview mirror here pretty soon. So congratulations. And as you mentioned, you've gotten a lot of individual accolades, three-time All-American, Freshman of the Year All-American. It's the team goal, and hopefully you guys can achieve that. Go down to the Arizona schools and put a whooping on both those schools and come back home.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Christina Nigue, great representative for the university and a phenomenal basketball player as well. That wraps it up for this edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast for Cal Athletics. We had the two big bigs this week, Connor Vanover, 7'3", and Christine, who's obviously at the top of the charts as well. So we appreciate all you guys listening. Next week, we'll have a couple of more guests, and pretty soon we'll get into the Olympic sports as well. Most of those are kind of on the break right now, but school starts in about 10 days, so we'll start talking the Olympic sports as well. Once again, thanks for listening today. I'm Todd McKim, and as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.